We celebrate the feast of Our Lady of Guadalupe, patroness of the Philippines, patroness of the Americas. It's a feast that always takes place in Advent, which is fitting because Mary is the preeminent Advent figure. You know the three Advent guides, right? Isaiah, John the Baptist, Blessed Virgin Mary. Isaiah prepares the way by exercise of the gift of prophecy centuries before the coming of Christ. John the Baptist, he's also a prophet, but more than a prophet, he's the one who prepares the way by proclaiming a baptism of repentance and by pointing out the Lamb of God when he comes. In this gospel I just read, he leaps in the womb of his mother. He's so happy to start his mission already. And then the Blessed Virgin Mary, who provided a space for the Messiah to come, both in her body, in her womb, and in her heart. She provided a physical and spiritual space for the coming of the Lord, a perfect space, an immaculate heart for the coming of the Lord. So she's the one who's most significant among the Advent guides, but none of these three has full significance without Jesus himself. They prepare the way for Jesus, the Savior, to come. Okay, so that's Mary in the sense of Advent. Now let's reflect a little bit about Mary making her presence known in the world. What came back to my mind, reflecting on the Feast of Our Lady Guadalupe, was the charming story that came out a few months ago when Pope Francis went to Mongolia. I think I told this story, but I can't remember all the details of it. Back in September, he went to Mongolia, which is a place where there's almost no Christianity at all. And a lot of people wondered, why is the Pope so old and with health concerns, why is he going to such a remote place? Well, he went there because he knew that was the will of God, and it's because that's what God's style is, to go to the ends of the earth. And when he got there, he venerated a little wooden statue of Our Lady, which has a fascinating story, backstory. This little statue was found in a garbage dump by a Buddhist woman who was a scavenger in the dump, and she had no idea. Maybe she never heard of the Christian story. I don't remember the details, but she didn't know that it was the Blessed Virgin Mary. It was just an attractive little statue, found it in the garbage. And she said she found it before the Christian missionaries ever got to her remote place. And she liked it. No one else wanted it, so she brought it home. It's a little statue of a woman. She called her that lady. When I think of a garbage dump, I think of Payatas, or one of these big, you know, landfills. Payatas, of course, is that still there? I mean, it's a huge, of course, Metro Manila is a huge metro area, and there's a huge amount of garbage generated in a metro area. I don't know if the garbage dump where this woman found the statue is quite as big as that. I really don't know. But that's my mental image of it, a huge mountain of garbage. And here's this lady in the middle of it all. Well, when the Christian missionaries arrive at this woman's house years later, and they see this statue of a lady, they say, oh, it looks like the Blessed Virgin Mary. And the woman, probably the humblest of all the garbage collectors or garbage scavengers, donated this statue to the Christians, and the story got out that Mary was here before the missionaries were here. Now, why does that come to mind? Because it's an image that reveals something to us about Mary's role in preparing the way for the coming of the gospel. Mary's also a forerunner, like John the Baptist. And she goes in humility, in hiddenness, unknown and seemingly undignified, to reach the humblest of the people. As if to say, wherever you are, I'm with you. I'm here with you. I'm your mother. If you live in a dump, I live in a dump. If you're in difficulty, I'm with you in your difficulty. If you are in poverty or sickness or any kind of struggle, if you feel abandoned by God, I'm with you in those circumstances. That's the message of Our Lady. Now, that image of Our Lady didn't even have a name. And so they came up with a few titles and they submitted them to Pope Francis and said, well, we have to call her something. And so he chose Heavenly Mother. So now that image is being honored. I think it's in the cathedral or whatever the Catholic center in that section of Mongolia is. I think Mongolia is one parish, the whole country. And there's hardly any Christians there. But that image now is being venerated in the Catholic center of Mongolia. Heaven, image of the Heavenly Mother. Which is beautiful because heavenly is otherworldly and mother is this worldly. I mean, when we think of a mother, we think of the very practical, tangible ways in which a woman becomes a mother. It's a very physical, earthly reality. Heavenly Mother, beautiful. Now that's a wooden statue. Probably if you were an investigator, you could figure out when it was carved and what kind of wood it's made from and how old it is and all that sort of thing. You might not be able to figure out how it got into a garbage dump on the remote edges of Mongolia. Maybe we'll not know that until we get to heaven. But it's a image that was produced, we have to assume, by some human means. When we get to Our Lady of Guadalupe, though, now we're talking about something even more spectacularly miraculous. You know the story. It was not painted by St. Juan Diego. It was not painted by anybody. It was miraculously imprinted on his garment, they call it the tilma, and he didn't even know it was there. He picked up all the roses that were, again, miraculously present on the hilltop in Tepeyac, Mexico City, what we call Mexico City now, and he gathered the roses in his cloak. He did something like this. He took the cloak like this and he put all the roses there because that was the way to carry them. And then when he showed them to the bishop, here's the roses, here's the sign, there on his tilma, just like this. There's an image of Our Lady. That's why I wore this vestment, to remind us of Our Lady Guadalupe. Now, that such an image exists at all already tells us a lot. But like that image in Mongolia, there's no message that goes with it. There's no, you know, visionary or anything. It's just a Buddhist woman who found a wooden statue in a garbage dump. That tells us so much already. We don't have to have a message. But in the case of Our Lady of Guadalupe, the image itself, even without any words, already conveys so much. Again, the image conveys the presence of our Heavenly Mother. Our Heavenly Mother with us in our difficulties, with us in our faith journey, preparing the way for us to receive her Son. You know that the image has lots of rich symbolism. I pointed out earlier today when I was talking to Evelinda that our image of Our Lady Guadalupe is all faded. You can hardly see any of the details anymore. We probably have to replace it. When Don and Rose went to Guadalupe this year, they brought back this little card. You have to have very good reading glasses to read the very fine print on the back. But on the front, it has a very colorful reproduction of Our Lady Guadalupe. And I've been told that people who go to the shrine of Guadalupe are always struck by the color. It's a bright image. And it's almost 500 years old. Now, that reproduction, that printed image of Our Lady Guadalupe is, 30 years old? And it's framed, it's preserved, it's indoors, it's on probably special acid-free paper and all that, and it's faded out. But the tilma, which was rough, natural fibers, still exists. So the existence of the image itself is a reminder to us of the presence of our Heavenly Mother. Now, in the case of Our Lady Guadalupe, far surpassing the image of the Heavenly Mother in Mongolia, Mary said a lot to Juan Diego because she told him that she wanted to have a shrine, a church built there, and she wanted it to be a place where people could meet her. Well, this is reproduced on this little holy card that I got from Don and Rose. And since this came from Guadalupe, this must be the official English translation of this, because I've read this message of Our Lady many times, and it comes out differently every time. So maybe it's difficult to translate. But this is the version that I have on my desk. It's the title, Our Lady of Guadalupe. They honor her as Mother of the Americas. And here's what Mary said to St. Juan Diego. Know for certain, least of my sons, that I am the perfect and perpetual Virgin Mary, Mother of the true God, through whom everything lives, the Lord of all things near and far, the Master of heaven and earth. It is my earnest wish that a temple be built here to my honor. Here I will demonstrate, I will exhibit, I will give all my love, my compassion, my help, and my protection to the people. I am your merciful mother, the merciful mother of all of you who live united in this land, and of all mankind, of all those who love me, of those who cry to me, of those who seek me, of those who have confidence in me. Here I will hear their weeping, their sorrow, and will remedy and alleviate all their multiple sufferings, necessities, and misfortunes. So a very strong message of maternal assurance miraculously given to St. Juan Diego and through him to the whole world. Now, as I say, the image itself, the existence of the image itself says a lot, but the effect of that image, the planting of that image at that time, at that place, is part of the miracle, part of what we celebrate with great joy to this day. Because remember, that was Mexico, newly encountered by the Spanish conquistadors. They only arrived about 10 or 12 years before that. I can't remember the exact dates now, but this is in the early part of the 16th century. And when the Spanish arrived, the dominant civilization of that part of the world was the Aztecs. I know it's politically incorrect to criticize any indigenous people or any civilization, but the Aztecs, for all their great accomplishments, dominated the part of the world by fear of fierce gods. And one of the ways they honored their gods was by human sacrifice. So when the Spanish came along and they saw these people religiously slaughtering people, human, cutting people's hearts out, and offering them to their gods, the Spanish said, there's no way we can tolerate this. We have to fight against this evil empire. I say, you know, now you're not allowed to say that. No, you can't. The evil empire, according to modern terminology, is the Spanish or any Western country. But the Spanish said, here we are. We are coming with the gospel of Jesus Christ, and we come to a country that's dominated by demons. We have to kick out the demons and establish the church. Now, that was the right intention, but of course they also wanted the gold, and they were also interested in glory. So God, gold, glory. And it's hard to tell which one was more important to the individual conquistadors. But the missionaries, they were there for God. The native peoples, though, experienced these powerful foreigners with a mixed message. They came to proclaim a God of love and joy and peace, but they also came with the sword, and they came with, you know, armor, and they also came and took a lot of gold. So the message of the gospel gets tainted by the human weakness. Well, along comes Mary. She doesn't come with a sword. She comes as a mother. She comes as a tender, compassionate mother who wants to embrace her children. So the difficulty of relating to the religion of the Spanish is completely overcome when their own mother comes. She looks to them like one of their own people. What's the title they give her? La Morena. La Morena. She's dressed in a garment that reflects the local culture, and some of the symbolism on there is was significant to the culture. So she was not a foreigner. And she was not imposing. She was not someone to be afraid of or who was forcing submission. She was a mother appealing with a mother's heart to her children who were suffering. And that, well, had such an extraordinary effect that millions and millions of people were baptized in the space of just a few years. In fact, the conversion of the Americas is attributed to Our Lady of Guadalupe, reasonably so, not just because I'm a priest talking about Catholic life. Even historians have to point out that from 1531 to about 1550, an extraordinary wave of change took place in that whole region of the world. Unexplainable, unless you believe that a heavenly mother came and gathered her children in faith. So that's what we celebrate today, this mother who is here for us, who's here with us, who wants us to know her son, who wants us to know that we are not alone, not abandoned, we should not live as if we're threatened. We should live with confidence in our Heavenly Mother. So with invoking Our Lady of Guadalupe, we ask her prayers for us, for our families, our loved ones, our nations, especially the troubled parts of the world, so that the kingdom of Jesus Christ can reign here among us.